In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Is everyone recovered from last night? It's always the roughest night of the year, in my opinion. Last night, as I was preparing this sermon, I had the Turner Classic Movies channel on in the background. And at 10 o'clock, there came on a movie that some of you will probably remember if you're old enough. And it was called Love Story. And it starred Ryan O'Neal and Ally McGraw. And it was a movie that launched both of their careers. In fact, I think it was around 1972. Ally McGraw was the most popular actress in the world and the highest paid, although she had only made three movies at the time. But when that movie came on, I realized exactly how horribly depressing a movie it really is. For the world of me, I can't understand why it was so popular. Because, there's no hope in it whatsoever. None. Two people fall in love at Harvard University. He's a lawyer. She's a musician. She finds out not long after that she has leukemia, and she dies. That's it. And this movie was tremendously popular. And I try and think back of the times, you know, 1970 when it came out, and of course we just had the assassinations in 68, and the world seemed to be turning upside down. And there was sort of a sense of hopelessness at that time. And this movie, it captured it really well in, you know, just about an hour and 50 minutes, and people would come streaming out of the theaters in tears and depressed, and what a great movie, they would say. I've never quite gotten that. Because I think about that in relationship to what we are celebrating today, okay? We are not without hope. This movie was. Perhaps people back in 1970 were. But we certainly are not without hope. We have a man also who went to the cross voluntarily, absolutely no compulsion whatsoever, to save the world. And he rose from the dead. And we, of all people, have to have some kind of hope within us. Today we call the Sunday of Orthodoxy. It's also called the Triumph of Orthodoxy, but not in a triumphalistic sense, but in the fact that it is indeed the faith that has established the universe. You look at it from the very beginning, after the resurrection, there was persecutions of the Christians for nearly 300 years. And then we got a bit of a respite from the persecutions for maybe another 400, 500, 600 years, but instead of persecutions, we were persecuted by the heretics of the church, who were trying to tear down the things that the apostles had established. They were trying to tell us things about Jesus Christ that simply were not true. And so, finally, in 842, because of the Emperor Michael and his mother Theodora and the Patriarch Methodius, the holy icons were reestablished after a period of about 100 years where the iconoclasts had held the upper hand. Since the last Council of Nicaea in 787. Well, that defined icons, but it did not stop the persecutions for those who believed that they were what the church said that they were. But finally, in 842, this was all put to an end. And on that very day that the Empress Theodora reestablished the icons of the churches, she designated to the church that this day was to be a celebration of that event, the first Sunday of Lent. And so it's been ever since, because it sort of put a cap on that period of heresies that the church had undergone. A very, very difficult time, but this was sort of the finale to all of that, and that's why it's called the Triumph of Orthodoxy. Because although the faith would indeed triumph, the people did not. Time went on. Many other persecutions happened. The Turkish yoke happened. The Muslim yoke, of which many churches today are still suffering under. And then, of course, came the 20th century and the yoke of communism, the most brutal repression that the Christian church has ever, ever known, that went on for about 70 years before it finally ended. But through all of this, through all of these years of suffering, of oppression, of martyrdom, amazingly, the church still stands even today. And when all of the other political philosophies and all the other heretics, when they're finally finished with us, when all is said and done, the church will still be there. The triumph of orthodoxy will still be there. Because the triumph of orthodoxy is nothing that we have done. It's the triumph of that man, that God-man, who hung on the cross all those years ago. He will not be repressed in any way. He will not be defeated. He will not give in to heresies or to persecutions of any kind, because he is the one that established this world in which we live in today. And he's going to have the last word for all of us in this. So when we process today with the holy icons, we are not just demonstrating that the fact that God became incarnate, and so he thereby can and should be depicted. We're saying that this is the faith which really keeps the world going. Sometimes it's hard to think of it that way, because you come to church and you pray and you wonder what your part is in all of this. Well, it's a great part, because without the Orthodox faith, there would be no world today. It would be gone. This is the faith that caused the creation of the universe, that caused the creation of the world, that has established every good thing that we find in culture today. Any culture, anything good in it, it came from the Orthodox Christian faith. Sometimes it's hard to believe that, because we are, among many people, particularly in this country, the most despised and wretched of people. We are small. We are not known. It seems like all of the other Christians around us are preaching a faith that really doesn't make sense to a lot of us, because it's so completely different from what we know to be the apostolic faith, from the things that we know that the Lord handed down to us. We hear interpretations of the Bible that are so crazy that it just begs belief. We hear teachings that are so wild and nutty that somehow there's going to be a rapture that's going to occur, and that those of us who are with the Lord are going to be pulled out of our cars and buses and trains and planes and houses and places of business to be zapped up into the air somehow to meet the Lord while all the others are left here, thereby denying the very efficacy and meaning of martyrdom in the church. These are just a couple of the things that we hear today that are so bewildering to any true Orthodox Christian, because they don't make any sense and they are not part of what the gospel message was. So we have to continue today, especially on this day, in proclaiming that faith and what we know to be true and what has been passed down to all of us through the ages. In today's gospel, it's very interesting because we read from the Gospel of John. We actually started Mark last week, because the Gospel of Mark is read during Lent, although years and years ago the Gospel of John was read during Lent. But the church decided, because Mark was not getting read enough, to make it the Lenten Gospel. But yet this particular Gospel today is from John, sort of a remnant of those days gone past. And we might think, what does this have to do with the triumph of the Orthodox faith? Because the Lord is spotting Nathanael under a fig tree. And Nathanael is a good man. The Lord himself says that he is an Israelite without guile. And so what does this have to do with anything? Well, if you think about it, the church left this gospel in today on this particular celebration because it gives a great designation to the fact that the Lord knows each and every one of us with an intimacy and love that we can only imagine. And that is what is going to go on to become the foundation of our faith, the fact that we are known by God. Nathanael comes to the Lord and says, you know, how do you know me? Well, I saw you when you were under the fig tree. And Nathanael, knowing that he wasn't being watched by the Lord under the fig tree, understands that the Lord knew. He simply knew who he was and where he was. And Then Nathanael makes this proclamation, you are the Son of God. And the Lord's a little bit surprised by this. And he's thinking, well, just because I said I saw you under the fig tree, you're saying these sorts of things, I'll tell you, you'll see greater things than these. You'll see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. A very sort of mystical, apocalyptic saying that the Lord gives to Nathanael. But it should drive home the fact that this Lord that comes among us, this Lord that whom the angels do ascend and descend upon him, knows all of us. He knows us individually. He knows us by name. He loves us absolutely equally, every single one of us. And that is the reason that he came into this world, to save us, to give us this wonderful faith that we can go out into the world and proclaim it. It's a difficult thing for us to do. I'll give you that any day. In this culture particularly, Orthodox Christianity just really goes against the grain. It's not something that is easily accepted by people of this country. It's very, very demanding. Even Orthodox Christians have trouble keeping up with all the demands that it puts on us because we have become so accommodated to the ways of this culture in this world. We are spoiled. We have grown soft. We are not like Orthodox Christians of old. When you read some of the lives of the saints, when you read some of the lives of the times of people gone past, their dedication was far greater than ours is. Yet, that doesn't excuse us. That doesn't mean that somehow we should just give up. No, the Lord put all of us here for a reason. We are here in the perfect time that we should be here, just as he came at the perfect time, the fullness of time, way back when, 2,000 years ago. So the Lord is calling us today. He's saying, first of all, this is Lent. Gear up. It's a tough sled. It really is. But the rewards are great. They're very, very great. And second of all, you have a great responsibility in your lives as Orthodox Christians everywhere you go. You must not hide this faith. You must not be ashamed of it, because it's very easy to be ashamed of it, because we are so different from the others. We are not like the others. And particularly now, in this day and age, when so much Christianity seems almost unrecognizable, even from what it was 30 or 40 years ago. We stand out like a sore thumb, and many people want to take a hammer to that thumb, and we can't let them do it. We have to proclaim the gospel with boldness, fearlessly, with love of our Lord Jesus Christ, with knowing that we are doing the right thing and that we are simply presenting the same gospel that he gave us so many years ago. It's that simple, my brothers and sisters. It's something that we have to be bold in our lives about. It's something that we can't shy away from, that we can't be fearful of, that we can't act as all other people do in this world. We are not of this world. We have got to be different. We have got to act out that faith that is ingrained so deeply upon us when we were received into the church by whatever means it was. It's there. It's there for all of us, and we can't let it slip by. We have to accept this faith in our hearts. We have to proclaim this faith, and we simply can't back down from that responsibility. The Lord is asking this of all of us today. He's saying, look, see these images? These are images of me. These are images of my followers. These are images of Christians throughout the ages. There is nothing more sacred than these images. Proclaim them to the world. Proclaim the faith that gave us these images. Proclaim the faith that enlivens all of us. Because all of us are being called to that same glorious, great goal of union with Christ. And you know, if you do that here and now, starting right now, you won't regret it. Because there's nothing more marvelous in this world than union with our Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing more marvelous. Nothing will substitute for it. Nothing can even come close to filling us with that type of love that he gives us. All the things we pursue in this life are, they're like burned out charcoal. It's nothing compared to the love of Christ. So remember that today as we're making our procession. remember that today as if you don't have any icons out in your home, for instance, why not? Put them in your home. Put them in every room. That's what the Holy Fathers tell us. There should be an icon in every single room of our dwellings. Don't be afraid of them. When people come to your house and say, what is this? Say, this is what it is. This is an icon of our Lord. Why don't you have one? That's what we have to do. That's how this proclamation needs to be made. Because the bolder you are towards the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the more boldness He will give you. And along with that boldness comes the greatest love that we have ever received in our lives and that we ever will receive. Amen.